You're set?
I'm set.
Okay. Lance is going to be talking about the Invisible IRC project.
Does this work? Hi, guys. I'm Lance, and I'm the founder of the IRC project. The concept actually was thought of when I was... It was not even really an original concept, but the idea hit me when I was playing around Freenet. I was getting tired of waiting a day to get an answer back about a question about Freenet. So I thought, okay, these anonymous users probably want to be able to get together in a room and talk about Freenet at least a little bit. So that was the idea. And then I heard some few requests about it. Plus, if you know, there's a lot of studies and readings on anonymous IRC. It's been long awaited. So kind of starting to do something with it. Right now, we have IIP 1.0 released. It's in a primitive state, but it is what I would say virtually anonymous under normal circumstances. I wouldn't put the government under it, or I wouldn't put a serious, someone who's really trying to look us up. I wouldn't sit there and try to push my luck with them. But at this point, it is a working demo for Windows, Linux, Mac OS X, and BSD right now. And it uses pretty much a three-tier concept right now. And we do plan to make it more decentralized. But at this point, we were looking for a viable solution for right now as we move pacefully to a decentralization. So what we have done is we've taken the IRCD, you know, the daemon, just pretty much we're using 2.10.3. And we've modified it quite a bit, more for... reasons of we've made it pretty much when you log in, it thinks it literally is from localhost clients, so everybody gets the same address. We have little first time speaking here, so we've set it up where basically how it works is there is a set of relays. Each user that wants to participate that has fair enough bandwidth, like cable modem or DSL or so, can basically participate as being a relay in the network. And what that will do is basically, right now it's as primitive as being as a manual algorithm. It's nothing serious at this point, but basically it is, you have a node ref list, you know, that has a list of nodes in there, and basically it reads off and it randomly, using Yarrow implementation, which is a secure pseudo-random number generator, will, you know, link to one of those on a per connect basis. I probably would rather just, you know, as a concept, basically I guess I could demo it real quick, and then I'll open the floor for discussion because I'm not much of a speaker. So
how do you get the
monitor thing on? Is it natural? Yeah, it's, I think. Oh, yeah, okay, gotcha. This is a work laptop. Unfortunately, it's NT. So, I'm sorry. I'm not rich enough to get a laptop yet, sorry. Yeah, I know. Actually, no, I apologize, but also for a lot of people who are visual, so it's probably easier to demonstrate it instead of from a prompt. You know, so pretty much we were nice to the Windows users, and we have. All right, sorry. All right, blurry but okay. Like my desktop, it's pretty organized there. Okay, all right, fine. All right, hopefully NT doesn't ask me to reboot. Yeah, let's see here. Come on. 640 by 480. Is this? Let's try 800 by 600. Let's just stick with what we got. I guess we're going to have to, like, I don't know. Sorry? Oh, okay, cool. All right. Oh, that's a serious zoom. Okay. All right, cool. All right, anyways. So basically, What we do is for the Windows users, we set up a nice system. Basically, what the node refs contain, how it accesses the system is you have a local port number it asks you to use, like 6667 or 6668 or whatever, you know, standard, you know, whatever you want. Preferably anything higher than 1024 up to 65535. And then, you know, basically you log in with your IRC client server, /server, localhost, and then the port. So what it does from that point is it accesses a node.ref file. And what that is basically a list of relays in the network. And the relays act kind of like a firewall for the actual server. No one knows where the server is. The concept I came up with it as a viable solution in a centralized concept was hide the server from the users, hide the users from the server. So in a sense, it basically makes your IP anonymous because you're having encrypted traffic end-to-end and node-to-node throughout the network. There are issues with it, like, well, you have to trust the IRC operator. So this is why we want to head over to peer-to-peer, where we would have channel encryption and different concepts there. So let's see here. Pretty much, all right, whatever. Okay, here's actually a working... all right, sorry, hold on. All right. Okay, I'm going to zoom up once I get it started here. I'm sorry. Sure. Invisible IRC. Okay. Okay. All right. Let me just get connected on here. It should. Okay. We are now connected. I have to authenticate with the third-party authorizations bot. So it's really kind of a quick hack for that. But what we want to do is have a public key exchange with the a third party that holds public keys of users for authentication. Hold on for a sec. It's actually pretty easy. Honestly, it really is. Okay, so let me zoom in here and then pan it. All right. Okay. Wait, let me just join. Our famous channel is called Anonymous right now. But, you know, a lot of people pretty much hang out. This is actually a live working demonstration of it. And this is mostly all the users on here are Freenet users. Usually come together, they're, you know, work on little, you know, learning about Freenet and different things, so they exchange keys and things like that, because, you know, with the issues of Freenet being that you can lose data quickly, you know, if you exchange keys right away, you can actually most likely get your data off Freenet. So what we have here is a working version. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Yeah. All right. All right. Okay. It's all nice and colorful. All right. All right. Okay. Pretty much every host has a host at nsa.gov right now. It's more of a smartass comment, but pretty much what it is you log in, you know, and it randomly picks a node relay. Right now there's about 15 in experiment. We're working on node assimilation and a lot of different concepts. It's very primitive right now, but it just started 3 months ago, 3-4 months ago. So, but it is working. What we have is a set of protocols in there. We have optional SPURT protocol, which is a fake random messaging within the encryption. So basically, if you analyze the traffic, it'll send random data pretty much under 30 seconds randomly, anytime between that, from 5 to 50 bytes of traffic. We also have an optional steady streaming protocol for this extremely paranoid, which would be more for like if you want to connect to a relay and constantly just have a streaming pipe. So messages could definitely not be picked out of that. You wouldn't be able to see what's going on there. Pretty much, you know, if I'd probably rather have questions, then I know where I can go with this. Because it's pretty much, the idea is, you know, obviously anonymous real-time chat. So using a hopefully peer-to-peer environment. But right now it's in a centralized state. So any questions?
How do you change the relays?
How do I what?
How do you change the relays?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the way the system works and IIP works is it's like a it's pretty much we have a listen.ref, and what it does, okay, say I have a couple of relays started, you know. All they have to do is have it in their node.ref, those two, and then from that point it gathers on. They exchange that relay with another set of people, so there's now three in there. And then it just builds up and builds up and builds up layer upon layer with relays right now. The routing it's very primitive routing, but it will work for right now. It's basically literally just stacked upon each other, and they just relay each other. And we actually have surprisingly not had too much lag on this in this way. The only thing that takes a little bit of time is connecting in, because you have two Diffie-Hellman key exchanges, and we're using 128 Blowfish for encryption. We want to move over to Rhinedale when we go into the peer-to-peer environment, but right now Blowfish is pretty acceptable.
Can the user specify to use a certain number of relays?
Sorry?
Can the user specify a certain number of relays, as in I want to go at least through two hops, three hops, and can the user explicitly specify the hops that the user wishes to go through?
At this point, it technically is random unless you have only one relay in there. Now, what we've had a few users, what they do is create their own routes. So what they do is link to each other, like trusted routes, so that they know, okay, I'm coming in, like that. At this point, it's using Yarrow as a random way. It randomly picks a relay. But if you only have one relay in there that you trust, and then you have a friend that is relayed through that and through that, what we call neighbor noding, that's possible. Other than that, we want to move towards, in the peer-to-peer model, we want to have a spread spectrum, basically what would be termed as garlic routing, where you would have messages going through multiple connections at one point, and they all basically go down a different pipe to the same path or to the same endpoint. So I don't know if that would answer your question. We are not doing the half concept. It's small data transmission. It's not really worth piecing the messages back at the other end. What I mean is, like, here's my node. I'm connected to this, 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 and this. And then I send one message this way, and then maybe there's fake traffic also going through the other nodes, and then another message will go into a different hop. But it'll go into the same endpoint, like a channel.
So is this... You said that there's end-to-end encryption between all of the people reading and writing. So is this right now just implemented against, like, passive attacks so that you make up the keys as you go along?
Actually, no. What happens is the node refs, we have 1.1 is sitting in CVS. It's not configurable easily for Windows users, and that's why we're waiting on it. That's the only reason. It is in beta testing. People are using it. What we do is for each node ref, they have a public key that's static. They generate a key pair. And in their node ref, it says host equals this, port equals this, protocol equals crypt raw or crypt core, and then it says public key equals. And then it has a 1024-bit public key. On the inside of that, they have a listen.ref that's, you know, host equals 0000, port, same thing, and then private key equals, and it has their private key. So basically, for reasons of man-in-the-middle attacks and authentication, we put in, you statically are assigned your public key when you generate it via the command line. So is that what you mean, or did you?
So my question is you have five people,
okay,
all chatting with each other,
right?
And so if they really want end to end encryption between all those two five, you have to somehow agree on a key to use or send
right.
Five
actually,
times the
we
data.
Have when we the problem with centralization, it has some limits, is because the end to end is from user to wherever the server is in the world.
Okay, so it's end-to-end user-server, not user-user.
Yeah, but
user.
We are writing a client-to-client encryption system. It's actually got to be a third-party written client, specifically for IIP right now, because it's not worth going into the modifications into an IRCD. We'd rather make it peer-to-peer and then work on that, where we can do it that way. Because what we plan to do is have what we call a virtual IRC server in each node. So when they connect, they go straight in there, and it interprets for their client. So that basically the client doesn't know, it's just dumb. It just expects, it thinks it's IRC, but the actual protocol will handle client-to-client encryption, end-to-end, from channel to user, because we'll be treating channels like a network. So each channel you join is like a private, it's got a private key and a public key. So what we have for end-to-end now is we have a network ID for the network. So you have to have that at the top of your node ref. It's network ID and network protocol, which is the crypt protocol. And then you have your node refs, which all have public keys that you authenticate with. So if you don't have that network ID, you can't get into the network. But the problem with that, and I know the problem, is that basically you trust the IRC operator, and that's an issue because he could sit there and you know, tap into those all day. So this is one of the reasons right now for the only solution that we want to go to is someone is writing a client for it, for client-client private messaging, and then we're just basically moving over to the decentralized environment with channel encryption. So, yes? The scalable part of it is that's with a centralized environment, like that's the same limitations. That's also all of this. I mean, this is like just started 3-4 months ago. We're still theorizing on what is. I mean, there's a lot of research to be done on the peer-to-peer model because, you know, a real-time environment is really hard to keep it. You got an option of scalable or you got an option of anonymity. You know, with delays and different tactics that you're going to use to keep a user anonymous, you might lose some scalability because it's going to keep, you know, use some bandwidth. But we're trying to find the optimal answer to that, and there's a, I'd love to open the floor for discussion on different ideas because I'm learning as long as I'm going along with. I started the project to learn a lot about the concept of you know what I mean, on the networks. So. It's right now it's command line. I don't have a GUI guy to. I'm not a GUI person. I'm a back end kind of guy. So. Any volunteers? Okay. Can you define what you mean by the port hopping? If you switch. Well, the spread spectrum. There's a lot of. You know, what we've actually started slightly on an IP steganography concept also as well, but. What we have right now is it's very linear as the network goes right now. It's like if you're on a relay, you're on that relay. And if you get disconnected, you hop onto another relay. So we haven't got any advanced port hopping or anything like that at this point. We do want to have the spread spectrum. We want to have like a fake services kind of mode in there so that basically, you know, to an ISP, it looks like they're just browsing the web or something just similar to FTP or things like that, that is not very suspicious. And we did actually start a masquerading protocol, what we call a masquerading protocol for that. It isn't in effect yet. It's still in development. There's a lot of work. I mean, you know, we only literally have 2 developers working on this. So, I mean, in 3-4 months, I think it's gone a pretty good ways to be a viable, virtually anonymous, you know, solution. But there's still definitely a lot of work to be done. So,
Can you gateway these anonymous IRC daemons with just standard IRC networks easily? Is that a simple thing to do?
Oh, a lot of people ask, basically, can you use it on a public IRC?
Or just have like one anonymous node in an IRC network?
You technically could, but I wouldn't consider it being anonymous because the encryption only goes as far as the IRC operator allowing IIP to be. It's best as a full protocol. It's not going to give you true anonymity in the sense of end-to-end encryption. You'll have node-to-node encryption only. You'll have that last node that goes into IRC's IP address. So it's really not what I would consider anonymity on IRC. I did find a neat little DNS cache hack for IRC, but that's pretty much it. What you can do is, if you really want that, you know, pseudo-anonymity, is you can actually have a forward and reverse DNS and actually do a dyn DNS right as you connect in, and then you know, if you reverse look up your name, it'll be like whatever IP you wanted to set it to. But that's about the closest I've come up to actually coming up with a viable solution other than bribing IRC operators to get involved. So, any other questions?
Yeah. Do you have, in the back, do you have plans to implement DCC channels, DCC channels differently than the main communication channels?
Yeah, we took out DCC and CTCP at this point because obviously it grabs your IP address. What we have actually done. And it's the reasons of this is I've been focusing on chat, and a lot of people go, oh, I want to get file sharing, and I don't really want to get into the file sharing wars. But what we are going to implement is an integration with Freenet's easy FCP lib. So you can do a /DCC send to a user, and it'll tell their client at their end to once it's finished inserting the key, and it'll automatically start downloading. That's probably our focus is to integrate file sharing with Freenet. We don't want to build a whole, because Freenet's, when it is finished and completed as a stable environment, I think it has a lot of potential to be a great data distribution system, and I think IIP will have a great great communication system. And our focus is just the communication at this point because of the small size chatting and the scalability and the already issues that are in front of us. So we don't want to really push in file sharing unless it's integrating with another peer-to-peer environment. So we do plan to, our closest thing we'll have to file sharing is integrating with Freenet. Any other questions? Okay. Well, the whole thing with that is actually how do you detect and deal with compromised nodes? This is actually in theory, and we've actually worked out the theory right now. At this point, technically, we don't. This is why end-to-end encryption is kind of important. Now, if they crack the encryption, there's nothing. You know, as much as we can do is pretty much shut down the network and hope get a new network ID. I mean, but in the peer-to-peer environment, Core, we are actually looking at a voting system, where, say, a node decides to start adding extended, you know, basically cancer his node with extended messages, like something that goes through him plus a message goes in, like, I hacked your node or whatever. What we want to do is have a voting system where we'll basically do a voting in pairs. So it'll go, do you receive, we'll be mirroring the messages, because channel servers, like, what they'll have is they'll have nodes that actually run channels in there. And they'll be pairing each other anyway. So they'll check for incongruent messages and inconsistencies in messages. And what it'll do is go, hey, you know, did you get an incongruent message? Yeah, I got it. Let's vote on, you know, let's send it down the path and have a vote there. And if it goes through the whole network with two pair votes and everybody agrees it's incongruent, it will reject the node's communication. Now, we also looked at the reason voting in pairs is because someone could, you know, decide to flood the network with voting. So if we, you know, if they try to do that, we stop at a point because obviously not everybody agrees on the incongruent messaging. So, and we'll probably be using a hash algorithm, one-way hash, for, you know, checking congruencies. So, any other questions? That's it. Okay.